welcome back to Total Party Kill. It's me, Tony Sindelar, he, him, his, Dungeon Master, to the stars. That's right, today's episode features stars, or podcast stars, or some of my favorite people that I know. One of those things is true. We are doing something very different today. Today, we are starting off a new adventure. It is Dungeons & Dragons, but I can almost certainly assure you, to the extent that I have control over this adventure, there will be neither a dungeon nor a dragon in this adventure today. We are doing something very different, something very Clue-ish, something very Among Us. We are playing a murder mystery. We are playing a published adventure called Murder on the Eberron Express. This takes place in the Eberron setting, which is a little bit different than your classic Dungeons and Dragons. It's a little bit steampunky. It's a place where magic and invention are much more prevalent than they are in normal Dungeons and Dragons, in part because it takes place on a train, and trains are not prevalent in Dungeons and Dragons, unless you're confused about the difference between trains and dragons, in which case you've got other problems going on. So, I am not going to do the usual introduction of our players and their characters. You're going to meet them as our adventure unfolds. Let me tell you about the setting for our adventure. So, this is in the world of Eberron, a place where magic and mechanisms are kind of infused together. There are many inventors and artificers out there building things that have huge impacts on the world. Inventions like high-speed rail, inventions like war machines that stomp across battlefields, all kinds of strange creations fundamentally changing the way things are. The world of Eberron is one that is not always a happy place. Our adventure today takes place 2 years after what was known as the Last War. The Last War in terms of the war to end all wars, not just the war that was most recently. So things are still kind of on edge. People are, many people fought in or certainly lost people in that last war, but much money was made, people amassed power, and things are still kind of simmering beneath the surface, even if open conflict is no more. Our setting for today's adventure is on the luxury Eberron Express, a lightning rail transit that travels from the city of Sharn, S-H-R-A-N, to Fairhaven. It is a 3-day trip, and today's adventure takes place on the last day of that trip as we are getting close to Fairhaven among the passengers and the individual who works in the first class carriages here on the Eberron Express. So, I believe that our adventure is going to start with one Dan Morin. Dan Morin, please welcome to the adventure. Can you remind us who you are and who you will be playing today?
Hi, I'm Dan Morin. I will be playing the character of Fontaine, who is the conductor on the lightning rail. We both use he, him pronouns.
Okay. So, Dan, it is the start of your shift. You've, I think we're going to say that it's about 6 a.m. in the morning. The train, you know, it's nonstop from Sharn to Fairhaven. Maybe there's a few short, brief places where they fuel up or resupply, but there are no stations, as it were, between those. And so the train has been rolling away all night, but it is it's 6 a.m. and you are up and about moving around the first class carriages, doing the things a conductor does on day 3 of a 3-day journey.
Well, I'll just open up to this. Mr. Baker.
Sort of see a figure slumped over a table in the dining car.
Yeah, as you make your way into the dining car, you recognize, at least the back of one of the first class passengers. Egan Baker, a noted artificer, and somebody that you've had some interactions with in the past, beyond the short trip you've had with him today. It is unusual to find a passenger in the first class car sleeping in the dining car. All of the first class passengers have, they're small but comfortable compartments in separate carriage for all the sleeping quarters. So, you know, maybe not the first inebriated passenger you found passed out early in the morning in the dining car, but not a usual thing that one would expect here on the Eberron Express.
Shake him, try to wake him up.
As you shake him, he falls out of the chair where he was slumped over the table, and it appears that there are He is very unwell. He is so unwell that I think you would say he is dead. Dead with a capital D. Egan Baker appears to have been shot twice in the back. There are exit wounds in his front, and a great deal of blood has pooled underneath the table that he was slumped over, and now you've knocked him out of that. And so there's a decent amount of blood everywhere now, including, I would say, there's some amount of blood on you. Congratulations.
Sovereign host. He's dead.
Were you yelling that or muttering that?
probably a startled exclamation.
Okay. You know, let us jump over to one of the first class cabins nearby. You're just the next carriage over, and there is a decent amount of background noise with the train rolling. Perhaps you are already awake in your cabin, even if you are not stirring yet. Kathy Campbell, you have heard someone yell, "Sovereign host, he's dead." Could you introduce yourself and your character?
Absolutely. I am Kathy Campbell, and I will be playing Kaeli Jones, who is famous for being almost famous in that she is the secretary to Baker and also the secret lover of him of sorts. We both use she, her pronouns, and I am going to roll out of the bed that I am in, wrap myself in, we'll say a sheet, because that's probably easiest to grab, and mm-hmm. run out to find out what is going on.
All right. I'm just going to move you on the map. We'll say that you approach from we'll say you came in from the east side of the dining car. You see the conductor with his... whatever. I was going to agree with where you put your token.
Yeah,
sorry. You see the conductor with his fancy conductor hat and his bushy mustache standing, looking quite startled over the very clearly, even, you know, to a non-medical observer, very dead Egan Baker.
I would like to insert a scream right now, but I will not...
Wilhelm?
Provide one. You're welcome. And just go, "Oh my gosh, is he dead?"
"Oh, ma'am, I need to ask you to stay back. This is it's a most indelicate sight. It's very disturbing. Please, we need to report this happening immediately."
But who do we report this to? You're the conductor.
Well, the protocol, we have protocols in place for such a thing. We must...
You have protocols for people getting murdered? We checked all of our weapons. We weren't supposed to have anything.
I must ask you to calm down. This is a stressful situation. I understand. Please, just give me a moment to block off the car and step into the back into the first class car. Please, I will be with you in just a moment.
As the conductor speaks of blocking off the car, from the other end of the dining car, the door slides open, and one Evelyn Baker enters. You know, you've been on this train for 2 days. You know the other first class passengers to the extent that one would know them. It's trapped in a small train compartment for 2 days, and you know that Evelyn Baker is the wife, the spouse of the, until recently, successful, prominent inventor, Egan Baker. She enters and is very startled and seems to be in shock. She kind of slumps over the chair nearby. Before she does that, she screams. A scream that no doubt wakens anyone else in the first class compartments.
"Oh, Madam Baker, please, dear. Dear, just keep the car as clear as possible. Let me block off the area. This is most unfortunate."
From elsewhere in the first class cabins, Jason Snell is waking up.
Yes. What am I? What, did I hear something? What am I doing?
Jason, could you you hear a woman scream? Could you introduce yourself and your character?
Yes, I am Jason Snell. You've seen me here before, and I am playing Kalen Coldude, the second character I played on TPK with Cool in the name. I don't know.
And alliteration.
And what you need to know about Kalen so far is that he's the guy who lives in the pool house behind behind the house that Egan Baker lives in.
To be clear, there's no pool house on the train.
No, not yet.
All right.
Hey, where I go, it's always the pool house.
All right. Kalen, I don't know if you were fast asleep or already awake in your cabin, but I suspect the sound of someone screaming has brought you into the dining car.
Suffice it to say that, yes, now I am in the dining car.
All right. I'm going to say that you were in the same side of the dining car as the baker's private chamber, so I'm going to put you on the west side there.
Great.
Okay.
Oh, no!
So,
no, what's happened?
There seems to have been some sort of unfortunate occurrence. We're still looking into the matter. I must ask you to clear the car.
This is unacceptable. How was Egan? Is he dead? Is he ill? What are you doing? We must take care of him immediately.
I'm afraid he may be beyond.
I rush forward and check the body.
I push past
the conductor. I will not be stopped. This is my lifelong friend. I will not be stopped. I try to push past and investigate
sure.
the body.
Conductor, Mr. Fontaine, how strengthfully do you want to keep him from getting there? Or is this a contested strength check?
I think I would like to push back.
All right.
I'm. This is my job. This is my area of expertise. I am trying to...
So you're a conductor and a forensics expert?
I was going to say,
where are my sunglasses?
I have a lot of questions.
I love this character.
Yeah. Each of you has a deep, rich, nonsensical
backstory.
You might
backstory. Say, Monty, I have a lot of training.
Oh.
This is going off the rails already.
Wow.
Guys, we're...
Okay. Give me a quick contested strength check. Loyal retainer versus conductor, Kalen versus Fontaine. Dan, sorry to clarify, is Fontaine first name, last name? Does it matter?
Unknown.
All right, unknown. Just Fontaine.
I rolled a 12 on strength.
16.
All right. Kalen, cool dude, you push past the conductor. Give me a quick medicine check as you look at at your friend, Egan Baker.
16.
All right. You are able to conclude that he is quite dead. In fact, has probably been dead for some time. There appears to be two rather distinctive bullet hole wounds in his front, and they line up with wounds in his back. A lot of blood everywhere. And you also, kind of quickly surveying the scene, notice that Egan Baker's prize prototype pistol is lying on the ground next to him.
Oh, okay. I was gonna look for that.
All right. This commotion from between the conductor and the loyal retainer to the Baker family has drawn in more attention. Pushing past Evelyn Baker is one acquaintance, family friend, associate of the Baker family, one Leopold Henderson V, business partner and important collaborator with one Egan Baker. He pushes in, What's all this commotion? It's far too early for this kind of noise. We paid for first class. We demanded dignity. What is... I'm ruined. He slumps against the other wall. Not too... Yeah, a lot, especially among the NPCs. next into the, he's not unconscious. He's just quiet. Next into the room, coming from the other side, is a gentleman. James Thompson, would you introduce yourself and your character?
Yes, I'm James Thompson. I am playing Athor Ardent, who is a senior lecturer of applied magical technology at the Lesser University of Sharn. He has wandered into the cabin wearing a dressing gown, which was the first thing that he could grab.
All right. So you wander in here. Things are already a little out of control. You see a figure you recognize slumped on the ground, Egan Baker. He does not look very well, given by the amount of blood in his immediate area. The conductor and Baker family employee, Kalen, are crouched nearby. Yeah, an acquaintance of yours, Kaylee, is standing near you, where you are, and you see Evelyn Baker and Leopold Henderson the fifth on the other side of the train car.
I note the gun on the ground, which is quite familiar to me, because Egan just keeps going on about it. Mm-hmm. And it is a particular prototype of a silenced weapon.
It is indeed. You would know it anywhere. He's been showing it off a decent amount on the 2 days of travel so far. Even though weapons are clearly forbidden on the first class, you know, Egan Baker seems to be the kind of person who is, you know, in your experience, it's not uncommon for him to flout rules of society in general and train rules especially. Oh,
the worst.
Well. I mean, is he dead?
I nod. He's dead.
I'm afraid that is the case.
Ah, there's been a train crime.
Is that?
It's a thing.
Thing? Okay.
Train crime CSO.
You're an expert in this.
I didn't think anybody else was.
Yes, he was shot. He was shot, perhaps by... And I point at the pistol on the ground, his own weapon.
Well, I ignoring all CSI protocols, I pick up the gun.
Oh, I must insist. I must insist you leave the gun there.
I just want to check.
I insist too.
I want to see if the gun has been fired. With my extensive technical knowledge, I can tell this.
Yes.
Roll some kind of intelligence check to figure out something that seems very evident to everyone else in the cabin.
Is there still smoke curling off of it?
Well, you know, I feel that this could be a red herring.
Get a grip, man. It's not a fish, it's a gun.
I'm going to roll a quick investigation of this. And I rolled an 19 plus 7. So
you study the strange workings of this prototype invention that fuses together the magic and mechanical, and you notice that quite clearly two charges have been spent from this thing. So it seems like it has been fired twice.
Yep, it was this gun. Puts it down on the table.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Professor.
This interchange brings with it several more passengers from each end of the car. From the west side, Monty Ashley, would you introduce yourself and your character?
My name is Monty Ashley, and like my character, I take the pronouns he/him. I am playing Jonas. Who's looks kind of like, let's say, Dave Bautista, both in general demeanor and size. He is a human male, but a big one. He recently showed up as Egan Baker's long-lost heir. Mm-hmm. He does not look like the heir of a rich person. Mm.
And entering from
hands,
just like Monty, entering from the other side of the train car, Annette Weirster, would you like to introduce yourself and your character?
I am Annette Weirster, and I am playing Valenthe Liaidon, who is some people might find a bit chilly and cold. And you don't know a lot about me. I'm an ice queen. But what I do for my day job is my family runs a theater company, and it's a traveling theater company, and I also teach students. I am wearing a lovely white fur-trimmed dressing gown, and I come in.
Okay. Well, we have quite a cast of characters assembled here within the train car. I'll allow you all to figure out what's going to happen next. I'm here to resolve any disputes among you. That's my role as Dungeon Master today.
Wow.
To tell you which of you is right and which of you is wrong. You're all wrong. But this is a story we tell together where we find out what kind of wrongs you are. What is next, people?
I immediately say to the conductor, this is outrageous that you've allowed this murder to happen here. I demand that you release Blue Shield, his bodyguard, which you insisted on impounding in the storage car to aid and assist in protecting the rest of his family and aiding in the investigation of what happened here.
I don't think that a bodyguard is going to do much good now, Mr. Cool Dude.
Perhaps it will stop another murder on your murder train, Mr. Conductor.
I have been the conductor for years on this line, and then nothing like this has ever happened before.
And yet today there was a murder.
Well,
oh my God! Somebody murdered. Jonas looks around at everybody. I didn't do this. I just got
nobody has accused you of anything, son.
All right.
I suggest we all take a moment to calm down, please. Give some space to the body. Perhaps we can just take a moment. And Fontaine would like to take the tablecloth off the table here and sort of drape it over the body for the moment.
All right. The tablecloth is pretty soaked with blood. So it's what you've done is grisly, but it does cover up the face of the dead man.
I cast prestidigitation to clean the tablecloth.
Wow, very classy, Kaelin, cool dude. Leopold Henderson V takes this moment to yell.
Evidence. Do it quickly.
Leopold Henderson V takes this moment to yell once again, I'm ruined! Ruined, I say!
Mr. Henderson, please, calm down.
We're all ruined, you idiot.
If everybody could just
He was the only one for contributing anything.
I'll just take a moment, perhaps sit down. Calm yourselves. This is tragic, I agree, but we will not get anywhere hurling recriminations at one another.
People, some of the Evelyn Baker and Leopold, who had been kind of standing next to each other, having entered through the same door, suddenly kind of look at each other with suspicion and also look at all of you and, you know, kind of socially distance themselves throughout the train. Sorry, Tony, the train car specifically.
Tony, would there be a method in the dining car for, say, contacting the engine or something like that, or otherwise?
Yeah,
alerting?
We'll say that over by the there's kind of the I don't know what you call it in a train car. I want to call it a bar. It's not a cantina.
Galley.
I looked up a lot of train words before this, but most of them didn't seem to apply to lightning trains. So,
camshaft.
Conductor, there is on this high speed luxury train a way of communicating with the other staff on the train car. You know, this train, it's experimental, luxurious. I will just tell you, conductor, you know that all of the first class passengers are present and accounted for at this point. There is a second class car with about 10 passengers in there. There would be a limited number of staff who has access to a galley, and of course the engineer himself at the front of the train. Those areas of the train are only accessible from here via locked doors, of which you are the would be the key holder as the conductor. But yeah. There's basically a box with a steampunk version of a intercom system you can use. Yep. Yes.
All right. So I would like to go over. I would like to give a glare at Mr. Cool Dude and someone else to sort of like warn them off. Mm-hmm. You know, interfering with the body.
I glare back at him. Do we have a contested mm-hmm. glare check we can do, Tony?
I think you succeed in the glare.
You both succeed in glaring.
As he moves away, I move closer to the body, ignoring mm-hmm. that glare, and I look at the body and even touch it to see if I can tell the temperature and guess what time.
All right.
How long has that body been sitting there?
I let her do it. I just let her go right by.
Yeah. You're going to do a medicine check while the conductor is distracted making his old-timey phone call.
And apparently I'm very upset because I have a 3.
All right. So, I'll tell you about your thing in a second. Fontaine, let's resolve your phone call.
Operator, give me engine 247.
it only goes to the other things. All right, you patch through to the engine. The engineer's there. The engine is quite noisy, so there's lots of I'm gonna need help with this. Chugga chugga noises in the background. Chugga 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 chugga.
We've had an unfortunate accident in the dining car. I need to speak to someone at the line.
God, get a load of this guy.
The engineer comes back. It's crackling.
How long y'all been a conductor?
you know the protocol. Lock it down. We'll be at Fairhaven in 4.5 hours. I'll wire ahead. Make sure the authorities are waiting.
Thank you.
This is your first murder in all your time, and you have a protocol for this?
Yeah.
Just because it's his first murder.
It's my I haven't been on the lightning
nine in
the longest
existence.
Your first
murder, eh?
I think you did a great job. Yeah. Who's holding the gun, Tony?
It's on the table.
I put it down on the table.
Yeah, James picked it up.
I would like to lock this door here and then basically make my way back across, glaring at everybody until I get to the other side, and then lock that door.
All right, well, let me check in if the other passengers allow you to do that without issue. But let's go back to Annette. Annette, sorry, can you remind me, your character's name is Valente? Sorry, the tokens overlapped and I couldn't read it. Valente, you did a medicine check and you rolled a...
A 3.
All right, I'll tell you, with a 3, that's pretty limited. It does appear that he is quite dead. I'm going to say that you are not sure. He has been dead more than an hour. He's cold. You saw him yesterday. So sometime between last night and an hour ago, he has been murdered, apparently via bullets. Yes, it does appear that he was, I will say, yeah, even with a 3, it does look like he was, shot in the back, because there are bullet holes in him and in the table that he was slumped over. So
Tony,
it would be very, very hard to shoot him in the front through the table, I would say.
Since I ran up to the body and all of that, I'm interested if I could like take a quick look around and see if there's any other suspicious sort of things around in the crime scene that might give a hint of what happened here.
All right, let's jump to Dan's thing and see if that gets resolved first. So Fontaine has locked the door to the east of the dining car. Just to let you know, the first class carriages are basically toward the back of the train. There is in the dining car, there is your carriages were either to the east or west of this train car. Moving toward the front of the train after first class carriages, there is basically a carriage with the galley and the conductor's quarters, then second class, then cargo, and then the engine itself. So it's not a super long train. Fontaine is moving through the car, which means he has to pass by all of you, and it has. But he has clearly locked one of the exits to this room. Anyone wish to say or do anything as that's happening?
I am gonna pick up the gun again, and I'm gonna take the bullets out of it.
Whoa, 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 whoa! Put that gun down, pal.
All right. So no one has stopped Fontaine. Fontaine, you have locked all the exits to this room. Let's jump. We're jumping
now
around
a lot.
Now it's
a locked room train crime.
Mm. Yeah. Kaelin, cool dude. You were inspecting the murder scene.
Yes.
Looking around. Well, it does look like there's glasses and a, is it snifter? Is that the right word? A big... What's the thing?
Snifter
is
a small
thing.
A decanter.
A decanter. There's a decanter. It is knocked over. Unclear if that was from some kind of struggle or previously just an accident. But it seems like Egan Baker was sitting here drinking, until something happened. Maybe there were bullets in that brandy.
Maybe.
I'm a dungeon master. The D in dungeon master is for dungeon, not for doctor master.
So there's only exit wounds on the body, not entry wounds.
That's actually a great
very steampunk. You make someone swallow the bullets and then you expose them to a very high powered magnet.
I'm standing there. Can I look and see if I can tell what direction he's sitting? If he shot through the back, can I make a guess as to did someone come from the east or the west and shot?
I'd say it's, he's sitting at one of these booths by a window. It sure seems like somebody was right behind him.
Which direction is behind him?
South.
Like, okay.
Like right where you happen to be standing.
Oh, where I'm standing is where the murderer was.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Scholar, Athor, is that how we say your name?
Athor.
You wanted to take the charges out of this new complicated mechanism, which is
I would like to stop him from doing that.
I don't want a live gun in this locked room with us.
Well, I'm going to stop you from doing that.
You can try.
Okay. I grab him.
Yeah.
All right. Contested strength check. Based on the pictures of your character, I feel like I know where this is going, in that one of you is Dave Bautista, and one of you looks like somebody Dave Bautista might pick up for exercise.
I am holding a loaded gun, and somebody is going to try and grab me.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try to grab... When that happens, bad. I'm going to try to grab the gun out of his hands. So
okay, so let me ask to clarify there, Kaylin. You're trying to grab? Are you helping Jonas, or are you a third party?
I am helping in the sense that I'm going to try to put it back on the table, but because I don't want him to be attacked with the gun by this guy in a bathrobe.
Really looking forward to our inevitable second murder coming up here shortly.
Yeah. So we are not very far into this adventure, and three people are already struggling over a loaded gun.
That's right.
Jonas, strength check.
We don't have time to wait around for Chekhov's law to kick in. Let's go.
Kaylin, why don't you go ahead and roll a strength check to be ready too. Jonas and our Athor, quick strength checks. Go.
25.
11.
14.
All right. Jonas, I think you are in control.
I got
control
as much as you two combined.
Yeah. Jonas, you are in control of the situation with your mighty, massive forearms. Could you tell us what happens?
I am grabbing the gun out of his hand with one hand, and with the other massive hand, shoving him against the nearest wall.
All right. Several of Evelyn Baker gasp at this sudden display of violence between the compatriots. Other gasp. Like, yeah. Multi-gasp. All right.
Gentlemen, please.
I'm going to put this gun back on the table, and nobody's going to mess with it anymore. Is that clear?
Fine.
Kaylin, is that compatible with what you were attempting to do? Not that you had a lot of agency in the Jonas's mighty arms.
Yes, all right. I'm just trying to get the gun back down on the table.
As far as we know, loaded gun is now on the table. Scholar, I will tell you,
it shows up in the background of a lot of shots, just reminding the audience.
Scholar, I'm just going to tell you, this is not knowledge that other people will have, but as you were the person to inspect the gun, this pistol is, a special prototype weapon, though some of the other people may have operated some types of artillery or gun-like weapons in the war. They're certainly not common or omnipresent here, but you know from inspecting this weapon that it holds four rounds and it has two rounds remaining in it. I don't know if I clarified that before. I think I told you how many rounds had been spent. You know how many rounds are remaining. I'm leaving it on you, creator of PCalc, to do the math on four minus two. Other people, you are unaware, perhaps, of how many charges a gun of this type could hold.
Well, that means we've got at least two potential deaths coming up in the next few hours. Mm-hmm.
All right, so there's been a struggle. The gun has now been placed firmly back on the table. What's next?
I must ask you to all sit down. We will be in Fairhaven in a few hours. The authorities will take it over from there. But until then, we leave the scene undisturbed. Am I understood?
Are you going to be serving breakfast?
That's a good question.
Preposterous!
Customers.
We've paid.
We're going to be stuck in this room with the dead body.
He ain't eating breakfast, so there should be more for the rest of us. I am just saying.
I mean, true.
Now
true.
I'm totally on the side of Monty.
But I can't eat in front of him. That's a dead body.
He won't mind.
Oh, you get used to it, sister.
Will the bar be open?
I'm spending beverage and meal service for the remainder of the trip.
This is
have some respect for
can
the dead.
We,
now
can
there's
we,
a problem on the Eberron Express.
Can we do karaoke?
No, you cannot do karaoke. The man is dead.
And he's and the only one of you did it,
says, yells Leopold Henderson the Fifth. I know it. You all have that look of murder in your eyes.
Oh, it's that guy. He hadn't said anything for a while.
I'm so sick of people telling me
he
that.
He was ruined.
Yeah. It's not a look of
I'm
murder.
I'm ruined!
It's not a look of murder. It's a look of hunger. We haven't eaten anything.
Oh, yeah. You were probably trying to steal that gun, huh?
Hey, Leopold, why do you keep yelling, I'm ruined? He's the guy who's ruined down here. You seem to be breathing, although not eating or drinking at the moment because that's not happening. Why do you keep saying I'm ruined?
Like you've ever paid for a meal in your life, Kaelin.
Fair. Good burn. and yet here I am. I'm not ruined. So what's up with you?
That gun was going to put Baker and Henderson Industries back on the map.
Instead, it put him in an early grave.
He's not in a grave. He's sitting at a seat.
No, he's not even there yet.
Well, we still got the gun.
What do you know about it, conductor?
Metaphor.
How much are you willing to offer for it there, Leopold the Fifth?
I will not haggle over a property that is clearly belonging to the Baker family.
Well, somebody else will probably pay.
He looks,
that's right, Baker family. That's me. My gun now.
I believe that gun will be in the possession of the authorities soon enough. So yeah,
Evelyn,
money. It's going to go to me.
Evelyn Baker kind of moves up wordlessly to glare at Jonas.
A lot of glaring.
I smile at her. Hiya, Ma. Guess we're business partners now.
Don't call me Ma, says Evelyn Baker.
I am going to start. Like,
seems like you have a lot to gain from my dear husband's death, Jonas.
I had a lot to gain from him being alive. I'm just trying to make the best out of a bad situation here. You like my latest accent?
Yeah.
wasn't going to say anything to New Jersey.
We're just going to let it pass, Monty. You're fine. You're doing great.
You know, Jonas has been a lot of places. Yeah. Jonas has covered a lot of ground in his travels. We're going to, you know.
Roll an accent check.
Yeah. Oh, we all fail. Roll with disadvantage.
I am going to move over here to what seems to be a bar, and I'm going to start rummaging around. And right. I say, I don't really know any of you, so I'm just going to see if I can find myself a drink. I think we all need a drink right now.
Madam, I must ask you to say that is Lightning Line property.
I continue looking.
there's several unsecured bottles of alcohol behind the bar.
I start pouring.
Yeah, Fontaine's only half-heartedly trying to stop her.
I'll take one.
I make everyone who wants a drink.
All right. We all move over to the bar.
Yep. Kaylee, Athor, Kaylin, where are you headed? Several characters make their way over to the bar.
Oh, I mean,
you
have the bar.
All right. So
I just moved behind the bar.
Actually, no, Tony. No, I'm not gonna go to the bar. I'm gonna stay here for a minute.
All right. Annette, or shall I say Valente, you start making beverages.
I'm really good
beverages
at making drinks, so.
For Athor, Jonas, Kaylee, and others.
I would like to stand, I'm sort of like moving my way back to the middle of the car, standing over the body, kind of awkwardly, like not sure what I'm supposed to do, but I'm going to cast my eye over it while I'm there and roll some investigation, see if I can determine any other clues or find anything else out that seems connected.
Why don't you roll? Yeah, feel free to roll investigation. I would say medicine would also be relevant.
How about perception?
Sure.
Roll perception because I get to add a d4 to my roll. 16 as I cast my over it. See if there's anything else that we haven't caught yet.
All right. Let me just read through my notes here for a second.
Does it say who did it?
Yeah. Did they leave a calling card?
I'm sorry, you rolled a 16? Is that what you said?
I did.
16. Yep. I'm going to just say that you felt confident that, similar to, Annette's, sorry, I got to start getting in the habit of saying your character name is Valente, that, he was shot twice in the back. I was going to say with the 16, you feel confident that he was, at the time that he was shot, he was already slumped over the table. And that seems to line up with the bullet holes in the table, with the bullets lodged in them. And I'm going to even say with the 16, you feel confident that he was murdered sometime in the last 5 hours, but more than an hour ago. So sometime in the middle of the night. Hey, Jason Snell.
Yes.
Do you want to roll a quick sleight of hand?
Sure.
All right.
It's an 8.
As you are studying the conductor, as you're studying Egan Baker's body, you noticed Kalen kind of sidle over to the table, seems to be studying the body with you, but then he appears to try and do some kind of quick little magic spell on the table, specifically on the gun, and it seemed like he was trying for it to be inconspicuous, and he rolled an 8.
You, sir! Step back. What did you just do?
Well, I'm trying to keep this gun safe. I don't want
That's
it to be
what
fired.
I was doing.
I'm not trying to pick it up. I'm just trying to keep it safe.
Just
what, do mean by, what do you mean by keep it
hey,
safe?
Who is that yourself. Guy? Hey, you, the scholar, yeah. James.
Ethel.
Oh. Yeah.
What who are you?
I'm a lecturer.
And that gives you access to a gun? That's not your gun. You just walked up and started grabbing it.
No,
but how do
but
you know
I
about this gun?
Because Egan just couldn't shut up about it.
That's true. He
you
would not stop talking about it.
You weren't traveling
boring.
With us. When was he telling
well,
you about
I clearly
this gun?
Am traveling with you. I was just in the first class cars. I'm going to a conference in Fairhaven.
Can anybody verify this story?
What's that conference about?
I mean, I would know what his ticket is, I guess, but I imagine everyone's going to Fairhaven.
Everyone in this train is going to Fairhaven. You made that announcement day one. You were like, if you're not going to Fairhaven,
train.
Get out.
We're all going to Fairhaven. And pretty
sure. Traveling together.
Yeah. It's literally an artificer conference. That's what I do. So that's how I know about guns. That's how I've seen all this. I was just trying to disarm it so that nobody else here would get shot.
That's a good idea.
Does anyone have a problem with me disarming the gun? You, Mr. Big Hands?
Yeah, I do. I got a problem with you touching
so
that gun.
So you want to shoot us? Is that what you're saying?
I don't need a gun to kill people. I was in the war. I was in the siege of Oscalor.
Well, I all think right? we have a suspect there. Right here.
A lot of us were in the war, Sonny.
Evelyn Baker kind of puts herself between the two of you and says, calm down, calm down. I can Athor is an artificer. That's public knowledge. I've seen him at parties.
All right.
Artificer parties?
Yeah, they're the best parties.
Academic parties. You can understand why your type wouldn't be invited.
Yeah, I get that.
This is for intellectuals.
She directed that at both the conductor and Jonas.
Ouch.
Salons, if you will.
I'm from the wrong side of the tracks, and you're from the tracks themselves. They don't like that sort of thing.
So am I going to have a drink, or am I going to disarm this gun, or am I going to do both?
Go ahead.
Don't have a drink first.
Don't trust a man who doesn't drink.
I will attempt to disarm said weapon.
All right, I'm going to say that this is going to be challenging. You did not create this gun. It is not a traditional gun. But you are going to have advantage because of your background in, as an artificer. So give me a intelligence check with advantage.
Okay, so I have rolled 23 or 24.
All right. You study it carefully, make sure it's pointed away from all of you while you do it, and you manage to remove, there's kind of four little kind of like spark plug looking little charges in them. Two of them have clearly been discharged. The other two you manage to kind of pop out of the handle of the gun, and they sit there on the table, still kind of like warm and sparking with electrical energy.
I roll down the window next to the table and throw them out the window.
What?
Is that how train? Is that A? Is that how train windows work?
And we're not going to let him do that. No.
Those are valuable. And again, Baker family property.
Yep.
And again, evidence.
Yes. All right. Conductor and...
It's quite suspicious that you keep trying to get rid of the evidence, sir.
I'm not trying to get rid of the evidence. I'm trying to get rid of the chance of us being...
All right. That's actually a great question.
In your murder train.
Hang on.
Conductor...
I want to talk about that for a second. Can I push the DM off for just one second?
Yeah.
Why is that gun still here? That's weird, right? When I kill somebody, I like to take my murder weapon with me.
Your hands?
Also, it's like
in the war.
And let us not forget how incredibly important an invention this is. This could be very valuable. Mm-hmm. Why would one leave it behind? Unless perhaps one were intending to get it back later anyway.
That seems more likely. I mean... many of us, I think, if he had been shot with it and the gun was missing, we would have leapt to that conclusion anyways. So perhaps the murderer only did not want to be caught with the weapon on them.
Yeah, I guess some people are like that.
That makes
merely
sense.
A theory.
The first thing the police are going to do is search all of our cabins. So if you
no, they're
going to
rough us up first.
Well, yes.
They like to break some noses.
As they do. But then they'll search our cabins. You don't want that weapon on you.
Mm.
Well, since nobody is going to let me make this thing completely safe, I'm going to go back to the bar and have a drink.
I pour you another drink.
Where did you leave the charges?
Thank you.
You could, Athor, I think you can roll dice if you want. I think your chances of not being prevented from doing that by Kaelin and Jonas. I'm sorry, who else wanted Fontaine and Jonas didn't want you to do that, so I think they are strong enough that they it's very unlikely, but if you want to roll dice just to see if you have a chance, give me quick strength checks, Fontaine, Jonas, and Athor. Basically it's as if you one of you has advantage in that you're will take the higher of Fontaine and Jonas.
Well, since I have a minus one on strength, I suspect
you never know.
I got a 19, so an 18.
I'm only a 15.
I only got a 13.
All right.
Oh, wow.
Somehow
the muscles bulge in the dressing gown.
Yeah. Yeah.
Squirrely.
Yeah. Somehow you manage to get the window cranked open. And before they realize totally what is happening, the two charges are dropped into the air and skitter away into the morning.
I would like to
sun.
Grab Athor by the scruff of his dressing gown and throw him down into one of these banquettes, essentially, and then level a intimidating glare at him.
More glares.
More glares.
Right, got a bar fight going.
Well, now we're safe.
You have interfered with an official investigation. That was not your right to dispose of that, which could have been evidence to prove who killed Mr. Baker. I am going to insist that you stay right here where we can keep an eye on you.
You've literally locked the doors. We can't go anywhere.
Also, you're going to need
what
to pay
are we
for
gonna
those.
Do? Fine, bill me.
I'm keeping my eye on you.
Well, you're supposed to keep your eye on him, but he died.
Well, I hope I do a better job with you.
So do I.
You should.
Leopold Henderson V makes his way over to the bar as well.
I pour him a drink. He likes old drinks.
Yeah, Kaelin's going to go over and have a drink too.
Can I have a drink?
No.
No. And a conductor can't either. He's working.
I am. I'm on the job. All right. Well, if we are locked in here for the next several hours, perhaps we can at least establish some information for the police. Perhaps each of us could describe the last time that we saw Mr. Baker. Perhaps, Madam Baker, would you care to go first?
I was headed to sleep. And I did take my sleeping draught as I am wont to. It's so hard to sleep on these noisy contraptions. And dear Egan indicated that he was going to stay up and enjoy some spirits for a little while longer, but he'd be along before too long. And well, I went to sleep until I was woken by this horrible commotion, and my dear Egan is dead. Dead.
There, Madibiker Fontaine will awkwardly attempt to console her.
She appears unconsoled.
Okay. What were you mixing into his brandy bottle?
She avoids eye contact with Jonas.
Mama? Mama?
I've asked you not to call me that, Jonas. We are blood relation.
I saw you mix something into his brandy bottle last night. I was wondering what it was. That's all.
It was... I will not even respond to that allegation with... I will not dignify it with a response.
And yet he was slumped down unconscious when he was killed, as if knocked out by perhaps what was in
like
that bottle.
Examine that liquid if possible.
Clearly he was not poisoned.
But he may have been drugged.
He wasn't just poisoned.
Given no chance to fight back.
The double
way of
and making it possible for some little woman like her.
Best way to cover up one murder is by committing another.
Oh, the old belt and suspenders murders.
Then you have to commit another murder to cover that one up.
Double murder, the classic murder.
One murder weapon is none, and two is one.
What would it take to examine that liquid?
I think that is probably medicine, nature, something like that.
Well, those are both terrible for me. I will try nature, but we'll see what happens.
Call yourself
you're welcome
a conductor.
You're welcome to involve other people in doing things.
I have a +7 on nature, but I don't
know if you
should look at it. So untrustworthy.
Too bad no one likes you.
Oh, is this important liquid?
Oh no, I spilled it. In the sink, down the drain.
I rolled an 11, which I'm sure will not tell me much.
All right, you know, you dab your pinky into it and take a little taste, and it does taste off, as if it is not. I mean, you know, you stock the, you're responsible for the selection of fine brandies for the dining car yourself as part of your conductorly duties, and something is not right with this. And in fact, you notice there's a little bit of powder still swilling around at the bottom of the nearly empty decanter that has, as if something had been dissolved in this brandy, but not completely.
Well, maybe suspicious. I don't have a business partner after all. Yeah, y'all can see it's right there, this powder and the brandy. She did
Madam, is this true? Would you like to say something in your defense?
Well, I resent the implication that I was... None of you are trained in ventriloquism. I resent the implication that I would do anything to harm my dear husband who has been taken from us far too soon. As I said, I myself use a sleeping draught, and I mix some into my my dear husband's beverage, of course. It helps calm his nerves.
Perhaps a little too calm.
It is not funny! she cries.
Well, we have established that Madam Baker was asleep, or so she says at the time of the murder. Perhaps the rest of you would care to vouchsafe your locations? When did you last, you lecturer with penchant for disposing of evidence, when did you last interact with Mr. Baker?
I was not disposing of the evidence. I was making us all safer, because... people get murdered on this train, apparently. Just want to make that clear.
One person!
So far.
Yeah, the
all
the
years
been disposed of. It's just sitting there next to the train tracks 50 miles behind us.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, people can go back and get it. It's fine. It probably gives off some terrible radiation.
Are you done dodging the question?
I'm not dodging the question. I haven't encountered Mr. Baker on the train as so far in the journey. He's kept up to his end, and I've kept up to my end of the carriages. He was going to go to this conference as well, I'm sure, and I would have seen him then.
But if I recall, you said he was showing his gun off everywhere, and that implies you saw it.
Not on this train. I didn't think anyone would be foolish enough to bring a gun on a train.
Leopold Henderson V takes his moment to go,
How did he get the gun on the train? I thought we were all searched quite thoroughly by you, sir, Mr. Fontaine.
Yes.
I cannot be held responsible for every passenger who manages to sneak a weapon on. We do our best.
Our safety is literally in your hands, sir.
It's literally your job to be responsible for us.
Well, I personally guaranteed
our safety when we got on this train. I remember it clearly. You said, if anything happens to any of you, it'll be my fault.
Flashback.
He did
that.
That
is outrageous.
I heard you.
Even worse, he had the bodyguard placed in the hold where he was unable to protect poor Egan.
That is merely a matter of the lightning rail policy. We cannot have war-forged creatures roaming the corridors. They could prevent...
murders. Can't have that. Yes.
What's your policy on, silent killing weapons?
I strictly forbid them, but again, Mr. Baker was a talented artificer. He could have come up with some way to avoid our search mechanisms. I regret it. I regret that he got this weapon on board, but
I'm sure he regrets it as well.
I assure you that it was an isolated incident.
Will it? Yes. You'll forgive me if I don't trust you.
Feeling is mutual.
Did he ever say where he was when the murder was committed? Or did I just miss that?
Well, I was in bed. I was asleep.
You say it with such obvious, can anyone vouch for that?
It doesn't matter.
Yes.
It doesn't. It does matter.
Yes, I can vouch for him.
Everyone except Evelyn Baker gasps. Evelyn Baker just rolls her eyes.
Perhaps, Madam Jones, you can explain how you could vouch for his whereabouts.
We have been friends for years, and it is a secret. It was a secret from Mr. Baker because he does not like me to associate with Mr. Ardent. Because of all of the businessy reasons.
Business reasons, yes.
Him specifically. Sure. As if he knew him specifically, he wants you to avoid him?
Yes, yes. They had a falling out many years ago, some sort of stolen information.
This is a great alibi, I must say.
But we were in bed together the entire time. So clearly he could not have done it.
That is the part of that that we should focus on.
Wow. Not the part where you had a falling out with the man who is now lies dead here.
I don't admit, Mr. Conductor, sir, you are not very familiar with any of us, but if you have had really known Mr. Baker, you would know that nobody really liked him.
I loved him.
Mr. Baker.
Leopold Henderson V says, I'm ruined, but that's quite true.
I'm appalled that you all hated him so much.
I did know Mr. Baker. We encountered each other during the war, and it pains me to speak ill of the dead, but I can concur with your assessment.
So you knew him before the train?
We had encountered each other once, but he is also a frequent passenger on the train.
No, I had known Egan for a very long time, and he's always been good to me. In some ways, I owe him my life, but I cannot deny that he was selfish, possessive, and greedy to the point of cruelty, and was a difficult person to know.
Love
the pool house, though.
Miss Kylie, just to check up on this alibi, you're saying you were awake all night, so you can be positive that our lecturer friend was definitely in bed all night long and never left.
Oh, we were awake all night. We were
absolutely
awake all night long. Just checking.
All night. Would you? Would you like to have a moment
family,
to discuss?
Family podcast.
I would like to know if that was the truth. the way that guy just said we were awake all night. Is there something I could do, sort of a game rule thing to check up on that?
Why don't you roll an insight check? James, you want to send me a message about something, slash maybe roll some kind of something? a truth-telling check?
I'm also going to use my Fighter Battlemaster tactical assessment ability to spend a superiority die on this insight check.
Is this what your character does?
I've got this ability. I'm mostly a fighter.
Fellow Battlemaster, hello.
Hi, how you doing? I thought I noticed something about the way you were standing.
Combat stance.
A lot of veterans in Eberron because of all the wars. Mm,
yep.
A lot of wars. So many wars. So much child death.
25. Mm-hmm. And I will mark off a superiority die.
Okay, so I might have fallen asleep a few times, but we were awake pretty much the whole time.
Yeah.
We had a lot of fun.
Can confirm.
That does not preclude shooting someone.
No, some might find that fun.
Yeah. Evelyn Baker continues to mutter. Despicable.
Well, it seems that we have accounted for the whereabouts of Mr. Ardent and Madam Jones. Jonas, is it, perhaps? Could you tell us the last time that you saw Mr. Baker?
Last night, when I saw his beloved wife, my stepmama, Miss Baker.
Please don't call me mama. I must ask you again.
Last thing I saw was her dumping some sort of sleeping powder into the drink, and I went to bed. Slept soundly.
It's harmless, really. I take it myself.
I'm sure
you didn't say anything to stop her or mention anything at the time. Was that in the dining car or in someplace else?
It was right out here.
Hmm. And when was that? That was before you went to bed, you say?
Yeah, about, 11:30.
Very, very, very well. What did you, Mr. Cool Dude?
Yeah.
When did you last see Mr. Baker?
Just saw him in the corridor when we were passing. I went and visited an old friend for getting caught up. Haven't seen her in years.
And who would that be? Would that person be able to vouch for you?
I gesture coolly at at Valente. Little head.
Roll for coolness.
40! 40 for coolness, Tony.
40-10
at Valente.
I raise my drink and just nod.
We nod, yep.
We did. We had a little catch-up. We haven't seen each other in quite some time.
Long time ago. Lots
long
of catching
time.
Up
do you
to do.
Two happen
before
to
the
know
war.
Each other.
Before the war.
How do you happen to know each other? Is this coincidence that you were on the train?
It is, actually.
It was, actually. And
I was surprised to see him.
I've known her even longer than Egan, and and we hadn't seen each other in almost all that time. And so we caught up on all the old times, the good old days, before I lived in the pool house.
Before the war.
Between the wars, the many wars, yeah.
And you were catching up, was that during the evening?
It's just stuff.
Catching up on stuff, I see. Yes.
Catching up on stuff.
What time would you say that was?
Tony, what time would we say that was?
Evening.
In the evening. Late until the night we were chatting. You know.
Do all you people study your watches at every moment of every day?
No, it was late. It was very late before
we had a lot
we got
to catch
to bed.
Up on.
I mean it was, you know, you have those philosophical conversations, what's my place in the world? How has life changed since we were younger? It was lovely. And drinks were consumed and all of that. But it was very late when I went to bed. I did not get much sleep.
Mm-hmm. I did.
That leaves only you, Mr.
Just
Henderson.
Just to clarify for my purposes at least. So you did return to your quarters early in the morning.
In the wee hours.
Kaelin Cool Dude.
In the wee hours, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
What time is it roughly now, Tony? I don't know if that's the exact hours.
We started at 6 a.m. and so it's 7 a.m.
Okay, but so
after 7:30.
Okay. And we don't have an exact time of death, but we do have a...
No, you do not. You know, the time of death is pegged currently at sometime midnight to 5 a.m.
Yeah, so the wee hours being when he was killed, it does not perhaps provide an airtight alibi for...
Well, okay, so forgive me for being conductor? Out of the game here, Tony, but would it be right for me to say, okay, if Annette's character was to one side of the dining car... And my character was to the other side of the dining car. Would I have to, if I returned to my room, would that mean that I passed through there and saw him alive?
I guess so.
Okay, so then we will say, well, no, because then I would have raised the alarm. Well,
maybe he looks sleeping.
You could judge, but that's going to be my story. I'll say, yes, actually, right. In the wee hours, I passed through and he was sitting there alone in the dining car, dozing, I would say. No. I didn't see any bullet holes or anything like that. I think he was just
until
snoring.
You put them in his bag.
He was snoring, and then I went to bed.
You didn't stop to talk to him. I mean, I know you are great friends. You didn't stop to join him for a drink.
He was snoring, and I've learned not to wake up Egan. He's very cranky.
Well, that does at least agree with I saw him when I was closing up the galley in the evening, and he did appear to be asleep at that point.
But not dead.
As far as I know, not dead.
What, a little sleep.
What time was that? I imagine as a conductor, you have a more rigorous schedule than the rest of us.
Yes, it was my last patrol of the train before I locked up, which would have put it at roughly... Tony, what time would that have been?
I think midnight.
Yeah, around midnight, yes.
Well, mine was much later than that, and he was still just sort of snoring away and muttering to himself.
Mr. Henderson, you have not vouchsafed your location.
Oh, well, I say. Well, I did have beverages, spirits with my dear friend and close business associate, Mr. Egan Baker, well into the evening last night. We had good times. Everything was going to turn around for us. Finally, we would make the fortunes to which we were entitled. Everything in Fairhaven was going to be a brand new day for us. And, well, when I left him, he was still enjoying a good beverage. But it was far too late for me, and I was getting to sleep.
Tony?
Did you perhaps have some of that brandy?
I did.
And you did not suffer the effects of a sleeping draught?
Well, I did go to sleep, sir.
Tony?
Quite soundly, I might add.
Tony, I would like to perceive if... this guy really believes that his business affairs connecting to Egan were positive and that he really, in their conversations, believes that that was the case.
Sure.
That they had a positive. Insight?
Yeah.
15.
You know, I would say especially you.
I have
you
awareness
know,
of the actual business relationship, so I'm curious
if
he does.
You know Leopold Henderson V, and, you know, I think there's a lot of talk. And there's a lot of talk throughout the dining car here today on the Eberron Express. There's some people that are being evasive. There are some people that are being effusive. There are very few people that are being the God's honest truth. And let's be clear, there's still a corpse in the corner, so what do you want from them? you know, you know that that Leopold Henderson and Egan Baker had, in fact, been on the outs for many years over some failed business thing, and that if anything, Leopold did not look kindly on Egan Baker, but somehow had wormed his way into some new business venture related to Fairhaven. But I think you were a little bit surprised when he was invited along on this trip, since they had not had a positive working relationship in quite some time. How's that? That's above and beyond an insight check.
I guess.
Also, we're apparently doing the thing where when you fail an insight check, people then confess.
what I was really getting at is, does he seem to believe that they were tight and that he truly is ruined now, or is that false bluster and that they actually weren't tight and he's trying to pretend that they are? But
I'll say it seems a little insincere.
Okay,
how's that?
I roll my eyes a little bit.
As I've mentioned, I'm ruined. I had nothing to gain from this. Clearly, one of you scoundrels has done this horrible deed, and now I am ruined because of it.
It seems many of the passengers on the train had the opportunity, but we do not have yet to establish how they might have come in and done the crime, or whether anybody else might have seen them.
You and Jonas, though, you fought in the war. You've already taken lives. You have it in you to do it again.
I would never shoot a man in the back, sir. Even one that I disliked as much as I might have disliked Mr. Baker. But I would not. I would have challenged him to his face.
Did he forget to tip you or something? How do you have such displeasure for Mr. Baker? You're just a conductor.
Let us say I've seen the unsavory way that he often chooses to do business.
Most suspicious.
Leopold Henderson V eyes all of you nervously.
A silence settles on the ring.
And I say, listen, Henderson, you're not ruined. You know it. He was never going to make a deal with you. Any deal you thought you had with him, he wasn't going to live up to it. He had no interest in ever being in business with you.
Shut up, pool boy. I don't know why he puts up with you and your antics.
Maybe it's my wisdom. Maybe it's my homespun knowledge about things like that he hated you and would never go into business with you.
What do you know of business?
I know it's none of yours.
Harum!
Nice. Nice.
Why am I Bill Clinton now? I don't know.
Well, you lost the pool boy during the accusation. You had to pull back. Yeah.
Could be worse. Could be Foghorn Leghorn. Dan.
I seriously considered it, but decided not to go.
Dan, I would throw you off this train so fast.
Oh, yeah.
Don't make me pull this train over. That's how trains work. That's not how trains work. So I'll just mention, you have done kind of a brief asking everyone for an alibi. No one has cracked under that level of questioning. I don't know what you want to head next. It may occur to you, you are currently locked in the dining car. People do have adjoining cabins in the adjoining carriages. Somebody wish to, say, search other people's things? Though apparently we've established one can just throw evidence out a window. So we'll say that the windows only crack slightly. They're bullet-sized cracks.
I'm going to once again make a plea to the conductor that since there's been a murder on the train, the best thing that we could do is get the bodyguard, get him out of storage, bring him here, and have him make sure that whoever the murderer is does not escape or kill more people.
It's a persuasive argument. What is required to activate the bodyguard?
What is required to activate the bodyguard, Tony? Is he just sitting like twiddling his thumbs?
I think he's deactivated in the cargo hold. I would say that anyone in the Baker family, I would say that Kaylin or Evelyn Baker would definitely know how to activate and deactivate Blue Shield, the Baker family Warforged bodyguard. But I would even suggest that possibly Kaylee, Leopold Henderson V, and Jonas the Retainer, the Lost Heir, might be able to do it because they may have seen it happen, but not done it themselves. I think there is some questions about, this is effectively a sentient weapon, right? It's a bodyguard. There's probably a question about who would it loyally serve or not.
Yeah.
Right. And, let me just wait. You just threw a gun out the window, or the bullets to a gun.
Can I throw a bodyguard out the window?
Blue Shield will not throw it through the window.
It won't fit through the crack.
And Blue Shield is, a walking, talking giant robot that may serve somebody here more than
others. Yeah, it is possible the loyalties of such bodyguard, now that his primary charge is deceased, would be questionable, and as we yet have to establish who amongst us may have committed this crime, that introduces perhaps an element of volatility that is not needed in this situation.
Tony, if I believe that Blue Shield would not have as its primary task to, with its master having been
killed to be to resolve that. If I worry that it might be
bloody
undermined
revenge on everyone.
If I worry that it would be undermined and actually could be another weapon, then I'm going to drop it right here.
Okay, I would think that probably it would be safe to conclude. It's unknown what happens when a Warforged bonded to someone who is now dead. What they will do probably depends on some very specific programming they were given when they were kind of set up. So it's possible, Kaelin Cool Dude, that you are somewhere in its hierarchy of, you know.
Right.
I think probably the Warforged probably has some version of a robotic, laws of robotics, Will and Testament.
I guess that's I'm asking is, would I know, based on having lived in the house all of this time, that it's a good idea? Because me personally, I'm like, well, we've got a Warforged bodyguard in the hold, and that would be awesome. But Kaelin might be like, oh no, that's too dangerous. So I'm just sort of asking you if
it is introducing a weapon into the situation. Kaelin, there's a possibility that it would totally default to trusting you and protect you. There's a possibility that it could default to protecting Evelyn Baker, and you don't totally know what's up with her. Seems like probably as the people that lived in the house,
right,
with Egan Baker and Blue Shield, it's one of the two of you. Or maybe the heir, if it had been updated right before the trip, but we don't know.
Okay.
It's a little bit like firmware.
I'm deciding that it's a little bit like there's a secret secret will has been implemented in its programming.
I'm willing to drop it for now, but I do think we need to keep it as an option later. But Mr. Conductor, do we really think we're just going to sit here in this room with the dead body for the next 5 hours?
It's going to start smelling, probably.
Maybe that should go in the luggage compartment.
I'm loath to move it before the authorities have a chance to examine the crime scene. Perhaps
What if we examine it and just together, not one person, but a bunch of us, look at it and collect evidence and then move it?
Yep. The mystery team. Let's get it together.
Let's Scooby gang it.
If there are things that you need to retrieve for your cabin, I can escort you individually to your cabins and return with you here. But it seems
that'd be great. I'd like to get something from my cabin, please.
I would like to get dressed.
All right. Farewell. I will escort Madam Jones first, and then Mr. Jonas. I will return for you and perhaps
Mr. Baker, please.
I'm
the heir of the Baker weapons manufacturing concern.
I'm just going to tag along with Kaylee.
Perhaps you could wait here until I return.
How do we know they're not going to go and get weapons from their cabins?
I will personally keep an eye on her in...
Yeah, I mean, you are taking
her to... far as propriety allows.
You are taking her to my cabin, so really, I feel I should be there. In case any evidence is being planted by you.
So, I think just... let me see.
Wait,
here.
by your own?
No, by you. By...
Yeah.
You will be able to see me.
Well, I feel, you know, nobody should be left
What
alive.
If we sent a neutral third party and not you? To keep an eye on the two of them. Sure they don't get together any shenanigans.
Definitely feel safer if I was not alone with this strange person that like Mr. Baker.
Yeah.
Well, let's send
Evelyn with her. See how she likes that.
Oh, God. Anyone but Mrs. Baker, please. I may not survive with both the conductor and Mrs. Baker.
Madam Leodon, then, perhaps. The three of us, yes.
That's acceptable.
All right. Let me just clarify. The conductor Fontaine, Valente Leopold? Is that how your last name is?
Leodon.
And Kaylee are going to head to which cabin?
Wherever Kaylee's clothes are.
Okay.
It would be my cabin.
Okay. to the scholar's cabin. Okay.
Yes.
I think we basically established one side of the train. I don't want to get stuck up on train geography, but I imagine basically one first class car had the Baker family retinue with a cabin for Evelyn and Egan Baker, a cabin for Jonas, a cabin for Kaylee that was not being used a lot, and a cabin for Leopold. And then at the other side of the train, it was separately booked a cabin for Valenthe, a cabin for Athor, and probably some empty cabins. Correct? Does that seem reasonable?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did I forget anyone?
Yeah, me, but I was probably with Egan.
Okay. Yeah, you're in there too. So
I have an inside cabin. You know, it's not the best, but it's fine.
Yeah. It's the pool house of cabins.
It is.
All right.
A little,
let us not get too hung up on maps. You are going to make your way to the scholar's cabin. The scholar is going to stay back. So we are splitting the party.
Dun, 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 dun. Dun.
So I'm just going to move. Nope, wrong person. Kaylee, Valenthe, and Fontaine are going to go head off that way. All right, let's start with the people heading, they're going to leave the train. So that leaves, Athor, Jonas, and Caitlin, as well as NPCs, Leopold and Evelyn, back in the dining car. So we may have some parallel, discussions and investigations happening. Let us start with Fontaine, Kaylee, and Valenthe heading to the scholar's cabin. So, conductor, you have keys, so you unlock the kind of entryway. There is these kind of like articulated tubes that connect the carriages of the lightning rail, and you move from one to the other. Do you lock the door behind you?
Yes.
That's an awfully specific question that Tony asked.
That's no reason.
No reason. All right, so you make your way. You are in a fancy cabin. Fancy carriage. There are a series of cabins all along one wall. Narrow little passageways. Little light fixtures that kind of rattle as the lightning rail makes its way toward Fairhaven. And so you make your way to the scholar's cabin. All right. You make your way there. And we'll say, the cabins have little sliding doors into the hallway. And Valenthe and the conductor kind of just stand there as as Kaylee goes in.
It's complicated.
I insist on watching you dress, man.
I can go in. And
Madame Leodon, perhaps if you would be kind enough to
escort. Yeah, I'll go in.
And the cabins are quite small, right?
And while I'm in there, can I do an investigation check and just sort of like not really poke around too much, but kind of...
Yeah, poke around with your eyes.
Yes,
yeah.
like not so subtly. Be...
All right.
And I got a 26.
Wow. All right. So you are glancing around the scholar's cabin, Valenthe. It's similar to the cabin that you are staying in. It's small, but nice, well appointed. This particular cabin seems to be jammed with just lots of books, far more books than you think anyone would need for a 3-day trip. But who are you to judge?
I'm judging.
Writing materials, scrolls with ink. And it's very academic, but also a little bit sloppy. You do notice a very ornate looking earring, kind of perched on one of the pillows. Kaylee's clothes appear to be here as well.
I pick up the earring and ask Kaylee, "Is this yours?"
Yes. Kaylee, you are wearing the other earring.
You might. Want
oh,
that.
I'm so glad that you found it. Thank you so much.
No problem.
These were my mother's.
Yep.
Yeah. Kaylee's gonna get dressed.
All right.
I politely avert my eyes.
Meanwhile, back in the dining car, Leopold Henderson V, Athor Ardent, Jonas Baker, sort of, the corpse of Egan Baker, Evelyn Baker, and Kaylin Coldude are sitting around, eyeing each other nervously, engaged in heated discourse. What's happening?
I walk over to Evelyn and I say to her, "I know that Egan was not a good husband, but I am shocked that young lady would on this very train be spending time with this other artificer I'm shocked. I'm shocked by that. That is, I'm trying to get a reaction from her if she knows anything about the relationship with old Arthur, who's over across the way from Evelyn.
Well, Caitlin, you would suggest that this is the first you're learning of this? That you haven't been covering up for Egan?
Well, no.
That
I mean,
you didn't know all about this?
We both know that Egan has been a bad husband for many years. I'm surprised that he would make such a bad decision involving somebody who would betray him to, or perhaps that is humorous to you, that he himself was being betrayed.
Well, you know how things are in Sharn. We all live complicated lives. We've all made choices before and after the war. Who are you to judge? You live in our pool house.
I have made bad choices myself. You may even, I don't know if he mentioned that, but I mean, there's a reason I'm in the pool house and it's not good choices. What do you know of this scholar, though? Is he truly, I've never heard of him or seen him before. Is he truly a rival or a friend of
Egan? Fancies himself a rival, but he's just a lecturer at the lesser university. To compare him to Egan would be an insult.
They should not have named themselves the lesser university, by the way. That was a little on the nose.
They were founded by sure Sir George Lesser.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that's, we're not here to judge academic reputations, are we?
Not at the moment.
Am I listening to this conversation?
No, I'm doing that without you hearing.
Yeah.
I know. We're
gesturing at you a little bit, but you don't know what we're saying.
We're in the background at the bar, and I'm just boring your ear off with war stories.
Okay, fair enough. I'll move to the bar. That's a good idea, actually. I need a drink.
Evelyn kind of grabs your arm, Caitlin, and says, Caitlin, can I truly trust you?
You know, there has been no one more loyal to both your husband and to your household for the longest time than me.
I knew about Kaylee. Everyone knows about Kaylee. And I put the drought in his drink because I didn't want Egan to go to her room tonight.
Well, I guess that worked. And
I would never kill him.
And it turns out that she wasn't there.
I suppose so.
But I know you wouldn't kill him. Despite, you would have done it long ago.
I'd never.
The best alibi.
She kind of crosses her arms and turns away from you.
That's fine. Cool. All right.
Meanwhile, over at the other end of the dining car, Jonas is telling some more stories to Athor.
There was enemies everywhere. They attacked us. Fireball. Dragons. Wyverns.
He's Avalax. A fighter, not a bard, people.
I was the last one of my platoon there. My sword had been knocked out of my hand. So I stood there and I raised my fist. I said, come on, I'll defend my whole country against you monsters.
I can just say you're definitely Egan's son.
Would you be willing to testify to that? Like maybe some sort of expert testimony?
Well, you know, based on the sort of long rambling stories about the war, you know, there's a clear family resemblance. I will stand up in the court of law and say it.
Fantastic.
All right.
I was in the battle of and then we fade away.
I pour another drink.
We'll say around this time, Valenthe, Fontaine, and Kaylee return to the dining car.
Okay.
Okay.
On the way back, I would like to have a conversation with Madame Leodon.
All right.
Okay.
Go for it.
So you were not acquainted with Mr. Baker then?
No, I knew him when Kaylin and him start working together, but that was when I met him. I just knew Kaylin first.
And did you say how you and Kaylin knew each other?
No, but we knew each other.
Mm.
if you know what I mean.
I see.
Went to school together, totally, and... is what that is. Yeah.
Totally what that means. Oink.
And his relationship with Mr. I realize he and Mr. Baker were friends, but did he ever
The wink
mention...
means it's truthful. The wink means it's truthful.
Did he ever express any dissatisfaction with Mr. Baker, or did he and Mr. Baker ever come to disagreements?
No, you know, if anything, he's probably the person who likes Mr. Baker more than the rest of us. I mean, I don't know Egan well, but he was kind of a jerk.
Hmm. And what did you say what your line of work was?
Yeah, my family has a theater company, a traveling theater company.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah, and I run the theater company and teach a lot of new actors.
Mm. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, perhaps then it seems as though Mr. Koldew did not have much to gain from Mr. Baker's demise, especially as it seems he may now have no place to live.
Certainly won't be with me. I'll tell you.
I can see why.
Okay, that's good.
All right.
You walk into and the so car you... laughing.
Yeah. just one of those happy time murders. Yep.
The conductor mysteries in color.
So you all regroup in the dining car once again. I'll assume, Fontaine, you lock the dining car behind you.
Indeed.
Just so we're clear, it's very conspicuous. He's got basically a small set of keys. It's not one of those giant, maintainer key rings. He's just got a couple, but they're on
like
chain.
A chain. Yeah,
on exactly. A chain. But you know, were he to be murdered, it would be real easy to unlock that.
But
door.
A fancy train conductor chain.
Dan, that is a normal way of describing keys. Don't give me that look.
Tony, important question: is there a tap dancing cat?
Reference not acknowledged.
Okay. Reference rejected.
So. Wow. Sorry, all right. So we are back in the dining car. Kaylee is changed her garb. Valente has had a chance to poke around the scholar's cabin, unbeknownst to the scholar, I guess directly, though perhaps he could infer that. What's next, people?
I'd like to stop by my car, if that's okay.
Very well. Perhaps someone else. Mr. Cold Dude, would you mind accompanying us, perhaps?
Of course.
All right.
Off we go.
All right. The three of you head to the front, or sorry, I guess to the back of the train. Let me just move you over here. To go and go to those first class cabins. So Jonas, Fontaine, and Kaylin Coldude have head off, leaving Valente, Evelyn Baker, Kaylee, Artur, and Leopold Henderson V in the dining car. So let us go with the people leaving first. You head into the final rear car of the train. Continues to rattle. It's similar layout to the other first class cabin car that you were in.
So, Kaylin, I expect you're going to want a place to stay.
I guess I'm going to have to find one.
Well, you know, if I am the master of the Baker household, I'd be happy to continue your previous arrangement of you staying in the pool house and keeping your mouth shut about any things you see.
I have gotten very good at that. In fact, I never told anybody about you. I remember when you were just a little baby.
That.
You were such an adorable baby. It was a shame that you were sent away.
See, that's what I always thought. I think we can definitely come to an arrangement. It's good talking to you. Oh, here's my cabin.
May I ask Mr. Baker before I mention your cabin, what precisely you are retrieving?
Oh, I've got a deck of playing cards that's very important to me, and you know, I've seen how this sort of thing goes. When the police show up, they always like to take away anyone who they perceive as being of low birth. And, of course, you know I'm not of low birth, but my rough-hewn military manners sometimes mislead the authorities. And when they take me away, I just like to have my lucky deck of playing cards with me so I can maybe make a buck or two while in stir.
Surely you have no objection to a brief examination of those cards, then?
Oh, no, not at all.
Very well. I ask you merely leave the door open while you retrieve them so that we may observe.
Oh, no problem. I walk into my cabin and close the door.
Oh, I do not let him close the door. I stick my foot in the door.
All right.
I might lose that foot. Yeah.
I'm going to help the conductor have the door be open.
All right.
Okay.
Jonas, is this the hill you want to die on?
Sorry about that. That was just a reflex. I just...
Of course.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. Oh, here they are.
Yes, we've all been there.
I'm going to do that. I want to do that eye poking, whatever it is, thing where you...
All right. I will tell you this one's... It's a lot briefer than the time for, you know, Kaylee to gather her things, but give me a quick perception check. Kaylin?
I'm also going to make a perception check.
Yeah, do it.
My mind's terrible. It's 6.
Hold on. I've got a D4.
Hey, it looks just like my cabin.
16.
It does, in fact, look just like your cabin, Kaylin. Fontaine, you're looking around. It is relatively Spartan. You know, he grabbed the deck of cards from there on the little, you know, kind of shelf next to his bunk. It does look like you catch like just like a glint of something shiny under an old shirt, kind of tucked over in the corner. That does look kind of conspicuous. There's not really a lot of places to hide stuff in a in these little cabins. That catches your eye, but you know, Jonas did not make any move toward that or even seem to notice that. He went, grabbed the deck of cards, and just returned to the door.
Got my cards. Want to look at them?
Yeah, I'll take a quick examination to make sure they're just normal playing cards.
Is this going to turn into a magic trick?
Is this your card? Fontaine, they seem to be a normal deck of playing cards. I'm not sure what you could possibly have expected.
I don't know, like a deck of many things, deck of illusions. There's lots of magical decks of cards.
Yep. It is. I assume, Jonas, it's just a deck of cards? Question mark?
Just your average deck of cards, such as a military man might carry around for some innocent pocket-based fun.
And in fact, I have one of these
myself from the war. You never knew when you might be staying up all night.
In fact, Fontaine, you would have, I believe you have a wand of detect magic?
Technically, I think it's in my cabin.
Okay.
I could also do a detect magic.
But I mean, I think that was part, you know, you would have searched people as they were boarded. So we'll say that you knew he had a deck of cards in his pocket and it was mundane. So who knows? Maybe it's marked in some way, but it is not. It is a mundane, marked as in set up for, but it is not a magical object. It's a deck of cards. Each of the face cards has the leader of one of the factions that Jonas fought against in it.
I am going to gesture back at that shiny thing that I noticed and say,
may I ask, Mr. Baker, what is that over there?
None of your business.
And while they're doing that, I am going to cast Detect Magic.
Okay. That is, I believe Detecting Magic is, like, I don't know if you can do that in an
almost every spell requires a verbal component, unless you have a special skill that lets you have some
Is verbal. I'm hoping to while they're distracted because they're talking about the shiny thing.
We're in a pretty small cabin, I was told.
Yeah.
I'm in the hallway. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
we're like poking our heads.
In fact, if you want, because it's a 30 foot range. So if you want, while they're jousting, I turn around and take a step the other way so they won't hear me utter incantation.
Here's what we're gonna do. You both are gonna roll perception. Give me I don't know. I think it's deception probably. There's verbal and somatic components to it, so you're going to attempt to do it subtly. But why don't you both roll with disadvantage because you're distracting each other unintentionally?
What am I rolling?
Deception.
Okay.
Yeah, I got an 8 on my perception, so I'm guessing that did not. Jude caught up with the giant.
13.
17. That's with disadvantage.
All right, you know, Kaylin Cool Dude often says stuff in a low voice to himself that other people
ask.
That's
cool.
Kaylin Cool Dude has used one of the first magic spells. Still going a little bit Clinton. has cast one of the first magic spells of this adventure. What will he detect with his detect magic spell? Presumably magic or not?
Or not magic.
Is there a magical item inside Jonas's cabin, the lost heir to the Baker fortune? Is it some kind of weapon? Is it some kind of something more mundane, something inauspicious?
Stolen silverware!
Stolen silver. Magic stolen silverware.
It's a magic crime solver device.
Is this where we finally pry the lid off of this murder mystery and find out that it has been Jonas all along? Or is it, in fact, Caelan Coldude looking to throw suspicion upon another? What about all those jerks back in the dining car? That's right, I speak of Evelyn Baker, Valenthe Liadon, Kaylee Arthur, Arthur Ardent, and who can forget Leopold Henderson V? No doubt one of them is the murderer. But who? For answers to questions such as these, probably not going to answer it next episode, but let's keep working on it next time on Total Party Kill.